You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
The episode you're about to listen to was recorded as a follow-up to parts 1 and 2 of our Special Needs Special Mamas episode, long before we even knew what the coronavirus was.
For a peek into what it's like to have a special needs child during quarantine, check out part 4 with Haven Burton. All parts of our conversation are available wherever you stream your podcasts. Hi, everyone. Welcome to this episode of Mama's Talking Loud. I'm Kara Cooper.
And I'm Jessica Rush. And today, this is part 3 of our Special Needs Special Mamas series,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, I mean, we talked so much last time, and we didn't even really cover everything that we intended to. And I feel like we're kind of calling this maybe the, I don't know, the lighter side of loving a child with special needs and all the joy and goodness that comes from it and what it means to do that and also be a working artist mother in our industry. So we have Neely Bassman here.
Hi.
And we're going to get Haven Burton here in again.
Yeah. Real life happens.
And yes, her daughter is sick. And so we're making it happen, making it work.
Yep.
So thanks for coming back and joining us, Neely.
Thank you for having me back.
For sure. Well, you want to just jump right in with, well,
we did one of these already today. Can you tell?
No, it's a lot. I was like, wow, they're
all right. Let's
back in it.
Let's get into it. Let's get into how being a special needs mom affects your career. Cause we all know being a mother affects your career in different ways and you have to make adjustments. But I do think there are specific ways that the responsibilities of having a kid with special needs affects the work that you take and the work you're able to do.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, definitely after my daughter was born and she was my first child, you have this idea that, oh, you're going to get right back into work and your baby's going to fit into your life rather than the other way around, which we all know is hilarious now that we have children. But specifically after Ever was born, I was home a lot longer than I thought I would be. I did like a day here and a day there and on camera stuff, but I felt like I needed to be home to be there for all of her therapies and to help her grow and develop in a way that obviously I hadn't anticipated. There's just something... It's just more important, you know, it was like, you know, I knew I was never going to have this time back and everyone just kept telling us that this time period between birth and 3 years old was like the most important and the most dire time for development for all children, but especially our children.
Which I understand, but man, it puts so much pressure, right?
Yes.
And now being on the other side of it with kids that are older than that age, it's like, no, they're continuing to grow and change. It didn't stop, you know?
Yeah,
and
totally.
I know that that's different for everybody. And if you're listening, that's not your case. We're empathetic to that. It's just, there's a lot of pressure surrounding it. And so I understand why you felt like you couldn't go to work. Yeah.
But also once the therapy started happening and the specialists started coming to our apartment, which is the great thing about early intervention up to age 3 is that they come to you. Thank God. I wanted to be there. You know, I didn't want to miss it because I felt like this is the time when they're going to tell me something that's detrimental and super important that I have to keep doing with her. And there were moments that I felt like, thank God I'm here for this. And it just felt like that's where I needed to be, yeah. You know? And I did miss working, but it's like I didn't have enough headspace to think about that.
Yeah.
Most of the time during the day, because my days were about what can I do to help her roll over and to make sure her muscles are getting stronger and getting exercise and that, you know, she can get strength in her mouth and her tongue. And I don't even remember, it's all a blur now, but at the time, every little thing seemed like this is going to affect how she walks when she's 20,
right. You
know? And in some ways I do believe that. I think all the work we did then in every area of her life, in the physical therapy, in the speech, in the socialization, in being together, I do think it is a large part of why she's doing as well as she is now. So I have zero regrets.
Of course.
But it was a lot of work and it was unexpected work. And I definitely stayed home longer than I anticipated.
And how did you handle going back to work? How was that transition for you and not being there for a bedtime and the things that, I don't know, I feel this way for me with a special needs kid. Things are really specific, especially when, you know, Elin struggled with language for so long, she couldn't express her needs.
Right.
And so I had to kind of anticipate what all her needs might be
right. And
educate someone who might be watching her on that and what it could look like. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, my 3-year-old right now, when I leave him with a babysitter, I'm like, don't worry about it. He'll tell you. Like, there are certain things I want to happen a certain way, but mm-hmm. He can express what he needs.
Right. I actually came across this the other day because I was going through an old computer. I had like a 5-page document and at the end it said, ever for babysitter.
Yep. I have so many of those.
and every time I gave it to a babysitter, I would say, forgive me, I used to babysit. I don't mean to be telling you things that are common sense, but I also want to give you all the information you need. So please know I'm not talking down to you, but use what you need and disregard what you already know. But this is just makes me feel better that I know I'm giving you all the information I can. Because, you know, with Ever, we taught her sign language very early on, and it was a game changer, a lifesaver, because she had maybe 3 words when she was 2. And she really wasn't saying sentences until she was 3.5, you know. And so she did a lot of signing the first couple years of her life. And some of them were very clear signs and some of them were Ever's version of signs, you know. So I would try to show the babysitters, this means this and this means that, because we knew what she was saying, you know. But the people who didn't know her that well were, you know, would just think, oh, look at the cute little face she's making or gesture she's doing, you know, and it meant, I need water, please, you know. So, I had a 5-page document of what her signs looked like and like what her movements looked like and how to get her to sleep, because she is the worst sleeper on earth. I love you very much, child, but woo! It was a chore.
Did you go back to Chicago before Tennyson was born?
I didn't. I left. I gave up that job.
Yeah.
So that was not mine to go back to. I really didn't do 8 shows a week until Ever was 4.
And by that point, you had Tennyson as well.
I did.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did readings. I did short gigs. I did television. I don't think I could have done 8 shows a week because I was, going to say the other main way that it affected me and me specifically, not all special needs moms, but was the sleep deprivation.
Yeah.
She just was not a sleeper. And I couldn't have done 8 shows a week. I wouldn't have been able to take care of my family. I wouldn't have been able to take care of myself at all. So that's a large reason why.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also, you know, the jobs, it's not like people were begging me to come into their Broadway shows,
I
wasn't actively seeking it out because I knew that I wasn't equipped to represent myself the way that I wanted to.
For sure, right. For sure. And that's mm-hmm. a legitimate worry, mm-hmm. even as a mom, even, you know, yeah. with not, a child without special needs. It's like, right. am I going to be, especially if you do take a step away, like, am I going to be as good at this as I used yeah. to be? When the good yeah. news is, you are. It's going to be fine. But it's, you know, it can feel very scary. Mm-hmm. And when you are sleep deprived, everything is harder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my mm-hmm. God. The sleep deprivation. I mean, I don't have a lot to add to that conversation, but I know I've been with you, Neely. I mean, those mornings on the bus, especially once Tennyson was born. I mean, it's like oof. Between Ever and then having an infant, you know, I know that there were nights that you literally slept for like an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, and to know that that is night after night after night. I don't know how you guys
and then
do
you
it.
Went and did Chicago.
And then you went to the show. And then you were doing a show. So basically you never slept. So... So you are a superhero, basically.
Or a lunatic.
Yeah. There's a little bit of lunacy.
Terminology.
Yeah.
Subjective.
Exactly. But it fed you, right? Doing the show. I always feel like when I am working, it feeds that other part of me that has existed forever. That part
absolutely.
Of me that existed long mm-hmm. before I was a mom. And I do feel it that it makes me a better mother when
absolutely.
I work.
Absolutely. It makes me a better friend,
yep.
wife.
All
mother,
same. And being a mother makes me a better artist. It's like mm-hmm. a symbiotic relationship. It's actually a wonderful
absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh, yes.
But it does feel kind of insurmountable
yeah.
in the moment.
Uh-huh. And as insurmountable as it was when I was doing it, prior to that, it would have been impossible.
Right. I feel like I kind of had the opposite because I went back to a show that I was in prior to,
right.
to having Elin. And so I went back into this thing that I already knew. And to be quite honest, Elin, the sleep issues with Elin didn't come until she was much older, probably because she was heavily medicated. I now have the hindsight to see that. That's probably why she slept so well. And her therapies were during the day. So I wasn't in rehearsals, so I didn't miss out on that.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm really, struggling isn't the right word, but you know, she goes to school all day and then she has therapy at home. And a lot of the therapies that we're working on are daily living skills. So teaching her how to dress herself or physically helping her because she has a lot of fine motor issues or put her laundry away. Just simple things that are teaching her safety in our house that you can't touch a knife. And if mommy doesn't say you can go out the door, you can't go out the door. These are things that kids on the autism spectrum don't inherently glean from their surroundings. They need to be taught in a very specific way about it. And I am a huge part of her therapy when she gets home right now. Mm-hmm. We do these, it's called parent training. So I do these ABA trials with her, with the therapist watching me, and they take data on it to see how we can get and to the next phase and how we can improve. So I keep thinking, how I would, you know, I need to, if I go back to work, which I want to do, I would be leaving at this time.
Right.
So it just requires some creativity, right? And everything's workable and it's figuring out, well, that means we have to do therapy at a different time so that I can be a part of this, mm-hmm. or we can video in with our BCBA, board certified behavior analyst to have a conference. You know, there are different ways to go around it, but logistically it is different. Mm-hmm. And I don't have those hangups with my son. Sure, he's going to miss me and he's going to be like, I don't want you to go to work. But I also know that if the babysitter tells him to go get his pajamas on, he'll go get his pajamas on. Like it's
exactly.
not, you know, or maybe he'll put up a fight, but he's physically able to follow that direction. So whether he's emotionally in the moment ready to do so is another story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a good point too, that it, in as much as I wanted to be there for her to learn from the specialist,
we have to learn.
Yeah, they taught me everything.
I can't believe how much I know and how to parent her. And funnily enough, I was at a forum at my daughter's school last night, and it was for typically developing kids, and it was all about teaching self-regulation. So teaching a child to be able to identify the fact that they are having an emotional response to something, and how to handle that. Like saying, it's okay that you're angry about this, but instead of throwing something across the room, you can say, I'm angry, I need to go into the other room for a minute, whatever it is. And there's so many principles that I have been taught as the parent of a kid on the autism spectrum that apply to neurotypical kids.
I've noticed that too.
And I feel like Finn has benefited from it, even just from seeing it in action. We have a therapist in our house almost every day of the week, and he sees it and he's like, huh, so if I do that, then this happens. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's a lot of good that comes from it.
Mm-hmm. That's funny. You saying, it's amazing how much I know. I still feel like I don't know anything. Well, yeah.
Truly.
5 years, but I know what you mean.
Well, especially in the middle of the night when your child won't go back to sleep and you're like, I don't know how to fix this. Don't know how to fix this.
Yeah, because your brain stops working.
Exactly. Short circuit.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, and that's something with the therapies and wanting to be there, that's something that's a struggle just with having a job in town. So I'm sure being a parent of special needs child, you don't even probably entertain the notion of going anywhere.
Yeah,
not at all. Going out of town is really
affects your career.
Like you and I had kids, what are they? They're not even a month apart.
Yeah,
right?
Like barely. Yeah.
And I feel like there were like six of us pregnant at the exact same time within 3 months. Like so many friends had babies. And I would watch people go out of town and they're like, this is the time we can go. Our kids are our babies. I can bring them with me. And it just, I was like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
I have to be here because she has to have her therapies and, you know, and you just do what you got to do.
You do what you got to do. And this is a very specific experience that I had. But I do think that I'm not trying to discourage anybody who was in the same position as I, but to encourage you to think outside the box and see what you can make happen. So when Aylin was three and I was pregnant with Finn, an opportunity came for my husband to go to Australia for 3 months and set the Australian production of Book of Mormon. Going to Australia has been on our bucket list forever. Like since we started dating, we always talked about going. And I was like, oh my God, we have to do this. And then it was like, how do we do this? At that point, we were driving an hour to and from an ABA school for Aylin to go to every day. So we'd leave Hoboken at 7 a.m. and come back at 4. Sometimes we'd come back and forth, but whatever, and then go do our shows at night. And it just was like how, like you talked about that specific period of time, like we can't lose those 3 months of therapy. So I started like investigating schools in Australia. How can we make this work? Also, if we pulled her out of the school, we were going to lose her place in the school because there was such a long waiting list that that when we came back, we wouldn't have been able to take her back. And the universe, I mean, we did our work to figure out how to make it work. And the school that she was at supported it, which was incredible. But we took a therapist with us to Australia. And look, it's not that we had a ton of money to do that. It was that the school supplied as an in-home therapist. The therapy just happened to be in Australia. That was where our home was. And she lived with us. And I mean, we gave her room and board and whatever, but it was a game changer. And it allowed us to have this like incredible experience that when we got the diagnosis, I'm like, I'm never going to be able to do anything like that. Like, that's it. It's over. Mm-hmm. So there are ways to.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And it is a little easier when she's three than like 3 months.
Oh, totally different. Yeah. It's not the same situation.
Now, like Ever's doing so well, you know, in kindergarten and Tennyson is like nailing it. Just like
my little boy is Tennyson. He just turned 2 yesterday. I can't believe
so cute. He was just here and he's delicious.
Like, Tennyson, you're two. And his little face is like, wait, I thought I was 6.
What do you mean? I'm not going to kindergarten?
Basically. Yeah, exactly. He's running the whole show.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
What do you do? Is there, this is probably laughable. I think in a lot of like about,
I know what you're going to ask.
Yes. It's laughable. I know. Is there any time? Like,
I know
you
people
ever
tell
have,
me how important it is and I really have to do it. I mean, I'm like, I think that's great. For, come babysit my child. Right, and right. I would love to.
Right. I mean, I think that's for moms in general.
Yes, for
right?
sure.
It's always a struggle to find any kind of self-care. So, but with that said, and acknowledging that that's absurd, probably, do you have any moments? I mean, Tennyson is still at home, right? Like
yeah.
every day. Yeah. So,
it's, yeah. So, I mean, now Ever's in school full time. Okay. So, specifically being a special needs mom doesn't prohibit me right. of that, but I'm still a mom of a small child of, yeah. who's, I was going to say preschool age, meaning before school, but then that sounds like preschool age right. and he's younger than that. Right? He's yeah. still younger than that, right?
yeah.
yeah. like, let it go of the baby.
No, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you try, you do what you can. I have a supportive husband who's tries to, you know, who is amazing with the kids. And, you know, we've actually worked out a situation where he once a week will take Tennyson and he takes him skiing. Oh, he's teaching him how to ski because he's Eric. and so I have time to work. You know, it's not like I'm going to get, you know, going to the movies and getting manicures, but I have time to work just for a few hours every yeah. week. I know it's coming and it changes everything. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like I can organize my life and stacks of papers and do some writing or work on an audition or, you know, just breathe for 5 minutes and yeah. feel like I can reset and get ready to start the next week. Mm-hmm. And that has been a game changer for sure. I also try to schedule my doctor's appointments around that time, you know, if I have to uh-huh. do that. But, and just, you know, we try to spend time as a family when we can. Cause that whole last year when I was doing 8 shows a week and my husband was working full time and the baby was a baby, we didn't have family time. It just didn't yeah. exist. And it was really hard. So in a way that's a type of self-care, even though I'm not by myself and it's totally. Important.
That's how you fill your cup. Good.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. 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 One of the ways. And also I've been trying to have a date with a fellow mom. We were doing it every couple of weeks, but then the holidays kind of screwed that up. We got to get back into it of kind of a accountability night where we get together and we talk about our goals and just have a minute to, you know, child-free and at night when the kids are sleeping. So that's helpful as well.
Awesome. Yeah. I love that accountability.
Kara, do you do anything?
I know something. I do a lot more now. What?
You do? Well, your workout class that yeah. you love.
I've always been like, I've always like just heaven. Been such a physical person that I know that working out is for my mental health mm-hmm. more than anything. I just feel like a different person on the days that I do that. And I had been teaching fitness for a while. And I found that when I was teaching, I wasn't taking the time to do it for myself. And so it was like, okay, I got to take a step back. Plus, I was also performing at night. So there just wasn't enough hours Girl. To do it all. but yeah, I mean, as you were talking about it, I was like, oh, this is going to change for you though. Like mm-hmm. as Tennyson gets older, like Finn's older, he goes to school 3 days a week.
Yeah.
He's not as needy in every moment. Like the other day he was like playing with his alpha bots and he's like off in the family room. And I'm like, this is magical.
Yeah.
He's just like hanging out. I'm making dinner. I'm sure he's like talking to me, but I'm not having to be with him, you know, every yeah. second of the way. And so you will
it's
get
coming.
More time.
It's coming.
You will
That's
get
what
more
people
time.
Keep telling
it
me.
It is. It really is.
You will. You will. And it's imperative because I like when Elon gets off that bus and Finn gets up from his nap, I'm like, okay, for the next You're 4 hours, we are in it. And yeah. it is intense. And Elon's got therapy and we've got to figure out a way. And strangely enough, Finn is involved with Elon's therapy. Like they have this like turn-taking program that they're working on to foster her ability to socialize with other kids. And so it's like, we're in it. It's intense and we're in it. But if I don't do something for myself during the day, I'm much worse at that at night. And my weekends are tough because Grandma's on a show schedule.
Yeah.
So he's not home at all. And so I mean, I commiserate with Eric because you had at Chicago, you had five show weekends, right? So, so I know that he went through that with the kids on the weekends and it's intense.
It's intense.
And to that end, when you were talking about Eric, I need to shout out to my incredible husband. I'm just going to start crying because he's just like the most amazing human on the planet. And I would not be able to do what I'm doing without him. And he supports me every step of the way. And he is an incredible, incredible father, and has always had such a special connection with Elin, which kind of brings me to my next thing. We were talking about like maybe having a funny story or something about our kids with special needs because, you know, we've told a lot about what's difficult about it. And just the other day, you know how like Apple Photos or whatever pops up and says, on this day, however many years ago, this happened. And it shows you a photo or a video. And it was this video of Elin at the dining room table. And it obviously was a night that, or a morning that I had slept in. And Grandma gotten up with her. So I'm like coming out of the room and I'm videotaping her. And she has just always, she's daddy's girl. She loves Graham so much. And they have such a special connection. I mean, she calls for mommy in the middle of the night when she's upset. But don't get me wrong. But she's obsessed with him and has always, like if they're the two of us are there, she prefers him. So in this video, I'm walking in and she's like banging on her plate and he's bringing her some eggs for breakfast. And I'm like, hey, Elin, good morning. How are you? And at this point, I'm going to say she probably had like 10 words total. 10. I'm being very liberal with that. She's 2.5. And she goes, hey. And then she goes, bye-bye. And I was like, okay, I know my place in this world. And I showed it to her and she thinks it's the funniest thing. And so does Finn. So now all day long, they're saying, hey, bye-bye. But in that moment, I just remember being like, A, crushed that my daughter didn't want to be with me. But all I could see at that time was what she wasn't able to do. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like all I could see when she was young was like all the things that she wasn't doing. And I looked at that video and I'm like, she has known how to communicate her needs from the get-go. She's been able, I just couldn't see it because I couldn't get past that it wasn't the way a typical kid might express what they needed.
It's amazing how well they adapt with their capacity.
Exactly.
It's kind of blown us away.
It's crazy. But
I remember speaking of the sign language, it's the same kind of thing, you know, those were the words she said.
Yeah.
She had hey and she had bye-bye and she got her point across.
She did.
And by the way, Ever does the same thing. She'd be like, nope, bye-bye.
Yeah.
She doesn't watch you. We're like, okay, got it.
Got it.
But there was a day, she was probably a young two, and we were having breakfast at the table and she knew the sign for grapes and she knew the sign for red. And she kept saying red, grape signing. She said, I want red grapes. And I was like, you don't have, they're green grapes. You want strawberries?
Oh.
And she smiled and nodded her head. Yes, yes. She put it together with what
incredible.
She had.
That's awesome.
Red grapes. She knew it was a fruit and they were red.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're a genius.
That's awesome.
I was like, Eric, come here. Look what she just did.
It's so crazy. They like you said, they really do adapt. Elin did it the other day. And she has these words, so I'm not sure why she didn't say that, but she was drinking her water and she goes, you drink this, mommy. And I went to take a drink and the straw wasn't working. And I was like,
oh.
Instead of saying like, it's not working, which I know she has the word to do, but in that moment she couldn't find it. But she's like, you drink this. And I was like, oh. Got
there
it.
Go.
Got it. Let me fix that for you. You know, it's so funny.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh, you guys.
On a previous episode, we talked about all the people that have come into our lives and have helped us on this journey. And whenever I like watch award shows or whatever, and people get up and thank their team, which is, you know, their agents, their managers, their publicists, their stylists, all that, which is whom they should thank. I always think of the team that we have for Elin. And I always think of like all the people that I want to thank. And I have along the way, clearly. But they are people that will stay with me for the rest of my life. And yeah, so I don't, do you have the same experience? And do you have people that you...
Of course.
Yeah. Well, you talked on a previous episode about one of her therapists who's moved away and still checks in. I mean, I'm sure the list goes on and on, but that's one that sticks with me.
She was her very first special ed teacher, started with Ever when she was 3 months old, and basically spent a year teaching us how to help her. And Ever just loved her immediately, and so did we. She was kind of just like this... like coming through the door. I'm like, help me, help me. And she still is, you know, when I'm stuck, she lives in Colorado and she teaches kids and she has her own kids now. And she's still always there for us. And I'm just so grateful for her. And then also Ever's special ed teacher from preschool, who I'm sure that you encountered because, Jessica, because our daughters went to the same preschool and she was there with Ever 2 hours a day. They call it a SEIT, a special ed.
And someone just said that word to me last night. And I was like, I've never heard that before because I was talking about AIDS and I got it.
Yes. Yes. Okay. It's like a one-on-one special ed teacher that comes in for part of the day into her gen ed classroom to help modify things and help out. I think that's a New York City term because it doesn't seem to carry over everywhere.
And they go into
everywhere.
A gen ed classroom because like Elin has a one-on-one aid, but she's in a self-contained classroom, not gen ed, but that one-on-one aid
but
goes
that's
with her
para,
everywhere.
Right?
That's a para.
And that's a different thing. Yeah. So the SEIT is an educator and a teacher, and the para is... for health and safety.
Although these, her para now has learned like how to teach her the principles of ABA and things like that.
That's awesome.
Because they learn that.
But this woman, so the first woman I was talking about is Brenna, and this woman, Renee, same thing. She just became part of our family. She would come to our house when Tennyson was born, you know, it's going to be easier for me to come to you. So she would come to our house and she just... especially during that year while I was working and things were so hectic and so tired. She just got it, you know, and she would send me emails saying, hey, I just wanted to give you a heads up that this deadline is coming up or this workshop is happening and things that like...
So useful.
It's like I had a wife. Reminding me of everything that I had to do before I had to do it. She was amazing. And Renee as well. I'll text her and say, hey, do you have any ideas? Ever's having trouble with this like behavior thing that's never happened before. And she always has an answer that I'm like, well, I feel like I should have known that. Right. So
we all need a wife.
Yeah, exactly. I say it all the time.
I was just listening to a mental load podcast on my way here, and I was like, that is an episode we have got to do.
Yes. A mental load podcast. Yeah. That's so descriptive.
The motherhood mental load. In keeping with that, I made a list of
this
all
list,
the people.
You guys. I can look at it.
I'm sure I've missed people, but I'm just going to go down. And this started when Elin was 9 months old. And this does not include doctors, but these are all the people that have touched our lives. And I'm just going to say first names, but OTs. Christine, Catherine, Marty, Megan, PTs, Lisa, Romano, Jenna, Speech, Tom, Mark, Lauren, Kristen, Erica, Wendy, BCBA's ABA therapists and administrators, Mel, Colleen, Robin, Jamadi, Eileen, Marlena, Katie, Jen, two Sarahs, Sienna, Jess, Luz, Megan, her teachers, Megan, Kim, Erin, and her paras, Wendy, Erica, Maddie, Mary, April, and Erin. Those are all the people that make my daughter's life better. And also, and make my life better. Mm-hmm. So many of them, I put her in their care. Her well-being is in their care, especially when she goes off to school. And then people that come into our home and are in our home, and it's so personal. Mm-hmm. They get to kind of see me at my worst. I know that. Mm-hmm. But they also are kind and generous, and they are a part of our family. Mm-hmm. And I just want them to know that if by chance they listen in, I doubt they will, but I just want to give them a shout out to the team.
Shout out.
Well, now I feel bad because I don't have a list.
I only do that because I have that many people too. I know you do. I know you do. But you gave them wonderful descriptive ways in which the people have changed your life and have helped.
So. But I will say, I mean, there are so many therapists, and then there are
the special ones.
Really, special, really special ones that have changed her life and have changed our lives. Yeah. And not just the therapists, but I'm going to get emotional now, but my mom friends have changed her life dramatically and changed my life dramatically. I mean, from the second day of Ever's life, when I didn't realize yet, we didn't know yet she had Down syndrome, and I didn't realize yet she wasn't able to breastfeed, and I had horrible mastitis, and I didn't realize it, and I was so sick, and I didn't know why. And my neighbor, Bridget, I will never forget, just literally went to the store, bought everything I needed, and brought it to me. I didn't even know what I needed, just brought it to me. And over the first year of her life, I can't tell you how many times I ran into her walking the dog and pushing the stroller with tears pouring down my face because I was so tired and just didn't know how to function. And she scooped up the baby and said, go home and take a nap. I mean, she saved my life. And it was Bridget, I'm going to forget people, Allison, Sarah, Joyce, Elena, so many neighbors, Jacob, you, Jessica, everyone, so many moms that just took her when I needed, when I was desperate. You know, it just, and she loves all of you. She talks about all of them. You know, it's, I was going to say, yeah, it's the village. It sounds so trite, but it's so true. And it has, you've all become family and it has saved us, you know, and it's so much a part of who she is because she grew up surrounded by love and community.
Yeah.
You know, and it's made her as loving, as loving and social as she is, you know?
Yeah. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. I love, we can end it on that note. I mean, what better way?
No.
Just the joy and the love and the village mentality of being a mom and how important it is no matter what life your child has, right?
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah, for sure.
Thanks, Neely.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Mama's Talkin' Loud. Special shout outs to Rachel Spencer Hewitt for our fabulous graphic, Kristen Anderson Lopez, Bobby Lopez, and Justin Ward Weber for our awesome theme song, our producers Dory Berenstein, Alan Seals, and of course, the Broadway Podcast Network for bringing us to you.
If you like what you're hearing and you want to keep the conversation going, you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook, and of course, subscribe and review us wherever you listen to your podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.